This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along on a Throwback Thursday. Happy April Fool's, but we're not joking here. The Final Four coming up on Saturday. We have got Houston against Baylor. We'll talk about the Cougars later on this hour, how they got to this position with Kelvin Sampson, and what was it like when Kelvin Sampson first arrived in Houston to where they are now, which is a win away from playing for the national championship. UCLA will take on Gonzaga. Everyone's favorite right now should be Gonzaga, but boy, those Bruins looked like a lot of fun in their win against Michigan the other night. But Gonzaga comes into this championship and has been going into this season as the favorites. They've got incredibly talented players. They do things right on both ends of the floor. They can score in different ways. They've got different threats, well coached with Mark Few. And as we've been talking about over these 3 weeks, since pretty much the start of the tournament, Gonzaga has been on this 20-plus year crusade of going from a school nobody knew about when Dan Monson was coaching them in 1999 to, you know, the Cinderella story of getting to the Elite Eight. And then also, as they would continue to make the tournament and continue to be a Cinderella, eventually you shed that label, right? Eventually you become a very good basketball team once you start consistently getting to the tournament. And that's what happened to them. They would start going and going and get better and better and better. And Mark Few created a fantastic, he just kept on where Dan Monson left off and went all the way through and got his team to a Final Four in 2017. And now this one where they are clearly the favorites. They are a 14-point favorite to beat UCLA, and they will be the favorite whoever they play, including Baylor on Monday night if they should get that far. But it's a journey that we talk about with these teams where it's always fun in the very beginning. It's exciting. It's new. Here's a team we don't know much about. But after a while, the expectation then becomes, okay, yeah, it was fun in the 90s when you were making us all excited with your new basketball team. But now what have you done? There's not pressure to go unbeaten for Mark Few, because you have to go unbeaten to win this thing. And no matter what you come to the tournament with in terms of your record, you have to win 6 games in it. I think there's pressure to take his best team he's had in the tournament to win it all. We've seen plenty of teams not be able to cut down the nets, including on our Throwback Thursday.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is good, the bad, and the dumb on a Throwback Thursday. Before we get to the good, the bad, and the dumb, I want to welcome in Tubbo Towels. This is a great, great product because I'm at that time of year again. I know, Ron, you are in too, where maybe the missus starts looking around going, you know, we should start cleaning up this spring. I don't know. The winter time has happened, and now I don't like the way the garage looks.
Yeah, can I be honest with you? My list is already too long.
Yeah, I know. Mine is too. And things around the house, like maybe we're going to do the windows, the little windows for about time, for the spring cleaning. Tubbo towels are great, and they come in handy. These extra large, heavy duty towels, they get 5-star reviews all the time because it breaks the bond that holds dirt and grease onto the surface, and they clean just about everything. Grease, oil, tar, paint, stains, chalks, silicones, permanent marker, food, drink stains, bird messes on your car. You can use it on your car, your garage, bring it inside, paint rollers and brushes and pans, fabrics and carpets. You name it, Tubbo Towels can clean it. Proudly made in the USA. And each wipe, this is cool too, contains aloe vera, vitamin E, and lanolin. So even when they're tough on messes, they're easy on the hands. I need that too. And you know what? I buy similar products to this. And what happens is I leave it in the garage, even when I close it, and then I forget about it for a while. Then I open it up and all the towels are dry. This has got a vapor lock lid. They're going to stay moist all the time. When you need them the most, they're going to be ready to use. Tubbo Towels are available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, Advanced Autos, Napa, Pep Boys, and they are just fantastic, especially this time of year. You'll bring them out to the garage, you'll do some heavy-duty cleaning, but you're going to want to bring them in the house as well to clean up the messes inside. So when you get into that spring cleaning mode, don't forget Tubbo Towels, again, available at those auto retailers. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the dumb. Let's get the good of the day.
The good of the day? It's simple today. It's extremely simple. Opening day.
It is opening day. It's fantastic.
I couldn't think of anything better. We got cheated last year. We didn't really get an opening day. We got like a, hey, we're going to start. No, we're not. Hey, we're going to start. No, we're not. Now we're going to have, you know, we're stopping because of COVID. Now we're stopping because of contract disputes. And then all of a sudden we're just here. But today, like, it just feels better. We had a traditional spring training, and it's leading right into opening day. Some stadiums might have a few fans. Some may not. It doesn't really matter. It's opening day.
Yeah, it's opening. Unlike any other sport, it launches differently. I think there is, even though we are football culture,
yeah,
baseball just launches differently. It really does celebrate opening day. A lot of it is the welcoming of spring in a lot of parts of America that have been dying, you know, getting underneath the cloud of winter, and then spring pops up and there's a feeling like the weather is turning, the weather is nicer.
Yeah, even though
I don't need the jacket as much, and here we go.
You know, there's a little bit of a cold front in the north and the northeast.
Sure.
So, you know, you're not putting away the jackets and the pants yet, but
you know it's coming.
But
right?
You know it's coming.
Right, that's the thing.
And that's, I don't know, it always feels like it's a rebirth of the year.
Yeah, and I think it's great. And a lot of people, there's so many people that even when the team is lousy and you know the team isn't going to be good, there's something relaxing sometimes about a late night baseball game that you're just kind of laying on the couch watching in July. You know, it's just it's always going to be on. It's going to be on your television and in your markets from now until, you know, late September. Every night there'll be a baseball game
that
you can watch. And even if you're not a fan of either team, you can just find it and just watch it and throw it on. So, yeah, you're right. Opening day is awesome. I used to love covering opening day in Colorado. And you know what's funny is, like, I live in Nashville, and I've lived in Nashville for almost a decade. And, like, there is a kind of a turning up the volume, if you will, of a Nashville baseball team trying to get a Major League Baseball team. I don't know how the process works. I know the money is here in this town. We got a lot of it with the music industry and whatnot. But I really hope that sometime in my lifetime, there will be an opening day in Nashville for a Major League Baseball team. Again, the process is so complex. It's not as easy as wishing for one and then buying one. But I hope there is, because I love that feeling. I loved Denver on opening day. I loved it. It's great.
Even though it's probably freezing, right?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, oh, God. I can't tell you. There would be some opening days would be nice, and then the next day would be freezing. And then there were some opening days where, like, we're not getting this in. Like, it's coming.
Still
it's coming
snow
fast.
On the ground.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is something I hate to admit.
Right?
Colin Cowherd is right.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I hate to admit it sometimes, because I like him when he takes the outlandish takes that we're like, come on, dude, you're just saying that. But I think he's absolutely right, and it's his take on the overreaction of all the pro days.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to admit something here. I don't listen to him. I don't pay attention to him, so I have no idea.
No, I don't either. I don't listen to him either.
We're bringing him up. And
you're bringing
I don't
him
know
up
why,
because,
what did
because
he say?
His strong take was, is like, you know, who's pro day we haven't really talked about at all. We didn't really go into great detail about was Trevor Lawrence.
I remember Trevor Lawrence's pro day.
Do you?
I remember reading.
Comparing him to other people, where other people are, you know, we all knew he was good. We all figured that, but I mean, people have been losing their minds. Like, it's the greatest pro day ever, greatest pro day, and then it hit a boiling point yesterday with Kyle Pitts. That
he's looking to do it again.
What's that?
Kyle Pitts is ready to do it again.
Yeah. I mean,
he wants to showcase more of his running skill.
I know. I mean, and he's definitely a freak of nature, but, you know, I think there is a tendency to be a little overreacting to this, because we don't know how it's going to translate to the next level yet.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. Yeah, we don't, but this is where I'll disagree in this regard. It is okay to say this was a good pro day.
Yeah.
It is okay. Like, it is okay to say when somebody shoots a 68 at the Masters to say that was a great round. If it's five shots off the lead after day one, it doesn't reduce the fact that it was a good round. It is okay to comment on what it is. right?
Right.
A pro day occurs, a player does X, and you can say that was awesome.
But it's now, the next level where you're already assuming that, you know, the gold jacket is within reach. Those takes are a little outlandish.
Now, who was he talking about?
I don't know. I can't remember who he was talking about. So that's
so there wasn't a specific athlete.
I don't think there's
a specific overreaction to this guy.
Right. It's just, you know, going on about, oh, this guy has the, you know, because he has the longest wingspan makes him a better player than, you know, other players, or because this guy ran the 40 the fastest is something that you need to be worried about.
No, I agree. I think a lot of us do. I don't think a lot of us go overboard with that. I don't think. But the thing is with me is pro days are going to happen until scouts say they won't go.
Like, oh, no.
Scouts,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're always going to have pro days. And in fact, this year,
they don't need that. If a scout says to a kid, I don't need you throwing at your facility to your buddies on your team. I don't need that.
And this year might be a little different.
Won't have them.
And this year's a little different because we're not having a combine.
Right. Well, we didn't have a combine, right?
Yeah, we're having all the individual pro days. I love the fact that, you know, Pitt's one scout kid.
Sure, I would go again too. I did five of them.
Kidding? Well, I mean, it didn't work out so well for Mac Jones, though.
No, Mac Jones didn't have a good one.
His second pro day, everyone was like, oh, you know.
Yeah. But we were like talking about this. We were talking about this yesterday. These guys are still going to be drafted.
Yes. It's what they're playing for. They're instant millionaires.
Right? What they're playing for is positioning. They're not playing for job or not. Right? Like Mac Jones isn't like, I'll be selling shoes if I don't complete these passes in front of these scouts. He'll get drafted somewhere, and then after that, the ball's in his court, to use a metaphor. The ball's in his court to then make something of that career.
Yeah.
Right. So, all right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is, we have to highlight this, is Deshaun Watson. Because we know about the, I think it's up to 22 masseuses. Is that the word, masseuses?
Yes, I think that's the term. Massage therapist?
I almost want to say like massage. I don't know. Because it's like fungi.
Yes.
Or massage therapist. There's 22 massage therapists who have brought a civil case against him. But then yesterday it was announced by his lawyer, hey, they have 18 massage therapists that will validate his character and say that, you know, Deshaun Watson was nothing but a perfect gentleman the entire time he was getting his massage.
So the total is 40 massage therapists
that
in
we know of
that have had an interaction with Deshaun Watson.
But the important
some
thing
are
is
reporting
that
it's negative, and some are reporting it that it's positive.
Yeah, 40. That we know of. We know that there's probably more out there that aren't coming forward, or it's like, you know, just leave me out of it altogether.
If you're looking for a massage therapist and you go and you get one and you're like, you know, I don't feel too good after that. I don't feel comfortable. Okay, then you get another one. I think by the third or fourth, wouldn't you have found one that's like, man, that woman knows her stuff. Like, she's really good. She was able to solve the aches and pains or whatever the reason you need it for.
Yeah.
She knew what she was doing. She I'm going to go to her consistently. Like, I will call her office. Can we make appointments? I would like you to be my massage therapist.
By third
why,
or four.
Why do you need 40 of them?
Yeah, third or four, three or four. Yeah, I could see that. That's a realistic goal. Like, yeah, you know, the first one might not work out. The first one could work out perfectly. You never know.
Is that an eyebrows raising statistic of like 40? Like, does that make people go,
I think that's
a concern.
I think that has to be the larger concern. Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be a normal thing for somebody to do, right? It doesn't seem like a normal thing for an athlete to go, I'm going to try every single massage therapist in the city of Houston, Texas.
Listen, and think about this. When you go to a restaurant, right? Do you try every single dish?
Right.
That restaurant has? No, because you normally, if you go to a restaurant and you found a dish that you like, you usually go back just to have that same dish.
That's a funny thing you mentioned that, because my wife and I went to this Italian restaurant over the weekend that's in our town that just opened. It's great. It's got great Italian dishes. I only know one because I tried one the first day. And I tell my wife, we don't go here enough. And every time we go here,
right,
I want that dish because I can't get that anywhere else. And so I don't want to blow the opportunity to get that dish. So you're right. If you find, Like, what is he doing with 40 different massage therapists? Is he driving across? Houston's a big city, as you know.
It's a big city.
Is he driving an hour to go try someone else in Katy?
Like,
what is he doing?
I don't know if he's going down to Katy, down up to the Woodlands, down to Sugarland.
It's 40. It's a 45-minute drive, and 20 of it is on a back road. But I'll go check it out.
Yeah, and don't the teams usually have this already staffed?
I would think so.
I mean, it seems like a normal thing for any sporting team to have is a massage therapist, a physical therapist on hand that can rub out what you're there for.
Right.
You know, you got an ache and pain. You go to this guy. He takes care of you.
Right.
Unless you were with the Mets organization during the 2000s.
Right.
Okay. You don't go to their organization.
Oh.
But yeah, 40, I think that's the more eye-popping number than 22 against him, 18 for him.
I agree with you.
40 total. That we know, and this is, again, that we know of, because we know that there's probably more out there who aren't coming forward. I mean, I think he had a goal to set out and to try every single massage therapist that's in the city of Houston.
Well, remember when the story was like, there was like six, right, or seven, eight?
And we thought that was obsessive.
Now there's 40 people, 40. Whether pro or con, 40 people have voiced their opinion of Deshaun Watson's conduct while performing massage services for Deshaun Watson.
And we can even go as far as saying 41, because then there was that one girl who did an interview
with Sports Illustrated.
With Sports Illustrated, who is not a part of the case. Yep. She obviously isn't part of the 18, and she's not a part of the 22.
That's nuts.
So now we've added another one, 41.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. As we continue, Wake Up Call on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It is Sports Map Radio.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, Joseph Durarte will join us, Houston Chronicle, on the Houston Cougars. We'll preview them and their matchup with Baylor coming up on Saturday. And Kelvin Sampson, who left Oklahoma for Indiana. It was controversial. Controversy followed him. He's had a really rough road, but as we talk about all the time, there's always seems to be a second chance in the coaching world. You're seeing Rick Pitino in Iona now. You see it when a guy has talent to coach and he pays a price, there's always a team that will say, yeah, we'll give you a second chance. And he's taken this chance with Houston, and now he's got this team into the Final Four for the first time since 1984. So we'll talk about the Cougars and how they've done it this season. O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with the right parts, advice from their professional parts people, and their free loaner tool program. There's no need to purchase a tool if you're only going to use it once. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required at the time of rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Ask about their free loaner tool program. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. I was talking about this at the top of the hour about Gonzaga and you know how they went from Cinderella in the late 90s to now where we're like, please win. You know, it's about time you won. We've been waiting forever for you to win. The Big Lead has an interesting kind of article about the Gonzaga program over the years. And Dan Monson, who was the guy that started it all back in the 90s, and Mark Few ended up taking over. Monson left Minnesota, and is now like at Long Beach State. And there is always a sort of revisit to him whenever the Gonzaga Bulldogs do good in the tournament, when they go to an Elite Eight or they're now their second Final Four. People want to know, like, what could have been, because a guy who pretty much started this, Monson, is now at Long Beach State and almost a forgotten coach, whereas Mark Few, who was an assistant, took over the program, and here we are, this great 20-year run that he has got this team into their second Final Four and a real legit chance, I mean, of any of the four teams, of cutting down the nets. The best odds to win this tournament. But who knows what could happen? Sometimes we talk about this a lot with coaches who are constantly looking for the greener pasture, right? Who just constantly, like, I need, you know, I'm here at this small school, this mid-major. I don't know. I mean, the pay is better over here. The competition is better. The recruiting will be better. The facilities are better. I'm going to go to that place. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And in Dan Monson's case, it didn't. It didn't work out at Minnesota. He was about a 500 coach there. He was in his eighth season when he resigned. He's now at Long Beach State. They haven't made the tournament in 9 years. When you look at Mike Krzyzewski, for example, at Duke, I'm sure as he was gaining success, he probably thought, yeah, I know I'm in the ACC, but man, one day I wouldn't mind coaching an Indiana-type program. But he stayed at Duke, and now Duke becomes one of the standards of college basketball. Jim Boeheim at Syracuse, Indiana, which had won some national championships back in the 60s, but Bobby Knight took hold of that and won, you know, three national titles. And even though they haven't, they've been completely irrelevant, it's a program people want to go. Mike Woodson left the Knicks to go become the head coach at the Hoosiers. It still carries that kind of draw. When you're at a small school like Loyola Chicago, you're Porter Moser, and you're at a small school, they're going to be calling. They're going to be yelling, come here. Come to the Big 12. Come to the ACC. Come to the Big 10. And it's enticing because when you are starting out as a young coach making $1,000 a month, you know, sleeping on a couch in an office somewhere in your 20s, barely enough food to eat, you start dreaming of what it would be like to be a coach. Like you're working towards a goal, but you don't think about working and leading, you know, good old State U to the championship if they're just this small university that you're starting out at. You don't think about that. You think about taking a big program with big NBA level players and winning championships. But Mark Few was exactly the opposite. Mark Few worked his tail off, got the Gonzaga job, and has stayed there. And believe me, I mean, Mark Few's name has been up for NBA jobs. It has been up for every big-time college basketball job that we've had in the last 15 years. His name is always brought up. But he likes it in Spokane. He likes the fly fishing there. He has got a program that consistently wins. And when you've got a program, when you are coaching a basketball program, it doesn't matter what conference you're in. It doesn't matter how big your school is. If you are a threat to win the national championship, you don't leave to go try to rebuild or take over a program that has an opening for a reason. A lot of times a school has an opening because they stink, right? Because the coach that is leaving the program has damaged it in some capacity. And if you're building your program where we've gone to the Elite Eight, we get to the tournament every year, we always win our conference, we always win our conference tournament. Some years we're the favorites to win it all. Some years we're the favorites just to, you know, be in the running for the championship. There may be two or three that are, you know, more favored to win it, but we're in the conversation. That's exactly what Mark Few has. Why would he go anywhere unless it is a different type of challenge? What, you know, what Boeheim had at Syracuse was that he was an alum. He played for Syracuse. He was in his blood. So he, you know, you don't leave your alma mater if you're becoming successful and getting everything you want at your alma mater. Mike Krzyzewski was different. He didn't go to Duke, but he is now part of that program and part of that lore that going somewhere would be a letdown. He has got that everything you want, every facility, every angle that you want in terms of recruiting, he owns, right? But if you're coaching at Gonzaga, you may not have had that in the very beginning. You may not have had the ability to go to your bosses, your athletic director, and get extra money for your coaches or to get a facility upgrade. You may be fighting battles that you really wish you didn't have to fight in terms of finances. But he doesn't have that now. He doesn't. I mean, So what obstacle other than personal challenge to go try something else somewhere in my life? And that all started with Dan Monson, who got that thing rolling in the 90s, who got that machine rolling to an Elite Eight. Well, we started looking up that school. We started noticing that school. And now Few has taken it to the next level. If he doesn't win, and it's likely that he will, but it's also very likely that he won't. We talked about this all the time with this tournament. The favorites don't always win this thing. It's crazy, these Final Fours. He'll try again next year. But this is the time, though. This is the best Gonzaga team that I've seen in the last 20 years. This is the best one that has got a path to that championship that's better than any path any of the Bulldogs has previously had. What about Houston's path to the championship? A two seed out of the AAC. First time since Five Slam-a-Jam. What does Kelvin Sampson have against Baylor? We'll talk to Joseph Duarte next of the Houston Chronicle as we get a preview of the Final Four.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it is 1985 on a Throwback Thursday. On this date at Rupp Arena in Lexington, Villanova upset Georgetown. It's considered one of the greatest upsets in NCAA Finals history. Still holds true 36 years later. An 8 seed winning it all. We have not seen a 9, 10, 11, 12. We haven't seen any of those win a championship since 1985. Some good music, too, from that era, if you kind of grew up in that era. So the Final Four coming up this weekend. Again, Baylor taking on Houston. We'll be talking to Joe Duarte coming up next from the Houston Chronicle on this incredible transformation of not only a program that once had the glories of Phi Slam-a-Jamma, Clyde Drexler, Hakeem Olajuwon, to a program that was in shambles and a coach whose career was in shambles, and yet somehow they found each other and now they're in the Final Four. Kelvin Sampson, a Oklahoma coach, an Indiana coach, and had problems at both, NCAA on his tail. He ended up with a 5-year show clause. He could not coach in college basketball, did some time in the NBA, worked with the Rockets, and then was itching to get back into the college game once he was eligible to do so. Was looking around, didn't seem to be any interest except this one program in his hometown that was looking for basically a rebirth and looking to get its program back up and running. Had terrible facilities, didn't have any fan interest, and was a program that was in dire need of a coach like Kelvin Sampson, who could coach. There was no question. Kelvin Sampson could coach basketball. The problems were that his issues of recruiting followed him from Oklahoma to Indiana and then became problematic for the NCAA. So he's looking for sort of a rejuvenation of his career. He's looking, and the program's looking for a rejuvenation as well. And the two meet, and now here we are. But they'll be going up against a Baylor team that has been excellent from day one. Gonzaga and Baylor had been 1-2 for most of the year. There was a period of time in late February where Michigan popped up as the number two seed. Baylor popped down. I think one of the most important games on the Baylor calendar during the regular season was when they went to West Virginia and won in overtime against the Mountaineers. It was a time they had spent a bunch of time on this COVID absence. You know, COVID was on their tail, and they didn't play well coming out of that gate until they beat West Virginia. So that's the task that is ahead for Houston. Joseph Duarte joins us from the Houston Chronicle. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
We were just talking about this program in terms of Kelvin Sampson, in terms of Houston. It seems like a story of a program needing a rejuvenation, a coach that needed a second chance at his career. They come together as one. Give us an idea of how that actually happened.
Well, you know, back in 2014, Kelvin Sampson was an assistant in the NBA with the Houston Rockets. He had just completed the 5-year show cause penalty from the NCAA for the violations that occurred at Oklahoma and Indiana. So, it was kind of a crossroads what he was going to do with his career. And, you know, he told us the story. You know, he always felt like he was a college coach, but he also wanted to give the NBA a try. And his father passed away shortly before he took the Houston job and basically told him, look, you're a college coach. You need to get back into the game. And at the time, Houston was looking for a coach, and as Kelvin Sampson put it, Houston needed him, but he needed them as well. And it sort of just worked out where it was a perfect match at the time. And he came in, and they pretty much gave him what he wanted in terms of, resources. And the rest of it's sort of just been a storybook building of a rebuilding of a once proud program.
It's funny because there's a program that has had success in the 80s, Phi Slam-a-Jamma, and people remember those Houston teams. But then it kind of disappeared from the college basketball landscape. They could have gotten somebody. They could have gone out and gotten some people interested in the job, a young coach. Why Kelvin Sampson? Why take the gamble on a guy that had some problems at both Oklahoma and Indiana?
Well, Mac Rhodes, who was the AD at the time, who happens to be the AD at Baylor now, they sat down. And, they listened to Kelvin Sampson's plan. And then at the same time, they said, look, this guy kind of, you know, he paid his penance and he deserves a second chance. And you're Houston at the time, and you're looking at your options, and he was the best one. And, you know, he came with baggage, obviously, but he also came with the track record of winning, and he was right there down the street. So it's sort of, you know, yeah, they had a search, but I don't think it was a very long or an extensive one, because they felt like if they could get a guy of Kelvin Sampson's caliber to take the job, you know, they could end that cycle or hopefully end that cycle of having to change coaches out every 2, 3, or 4 years, because that's part of what got them into this deal. You know, they changed coaches a lot there. There was no support from the administration, the fan base. It was just a horrible situation, and you had to sell Kelvin Sampson on that.
Yeah.
He said he wasn't listening to sort of what he didn't have, but what they could offer, and you know, in terms of the facilities and stuff. And he said the worse the program was, the more enticing the job was.
So give us an idea from this season. They obviously earned a 2 seed, so they had been in the public light in terms of rankings all season. People are getting familiar with Quentin Grimes in this tournament. What defines Kelvin Sampson and Houston Cougar basketball in 2021?
Defense, rebounding, you know, those are simply the things that have followed him everywhere, every team he's had. At Houston has been based, and the foundation is defense, rebounding, taking care of the ball. And then you look at, you know, this is just a different year. I mean, with COVID and overcoming so much, you didn't know from 1 week or one game to another if it would even be played. You know, they had all 15 players at some point, test positive. The player of the year of the conference decides he doesn't want to play here anymore, so he leaves. So many different things that they went through, but the constant and everything is that they are one of the best defensive teams in the country, and they're one of the best rebounding teams in the country. Those two things pretty much offset the fact that they're not a great shooting team, but they get so many opportunities and so many chances that it balances out. It's kind of who they are. They, instead of being a blue blood, they say, they would rather be blue collar.
Is Houston in the city, is it loaded with the kind of NCAA Division I talent? Is it a good recruiting city for Sampson to tap into?
It is, and the problem in the past is you've had all that talent go elsewhere. You know, I think all the way back to guys like T.J. Ford, who left the city. You had a bunch of guys that went to Duke, Justice Winslow, guys like that, who ended up winning national championships elsewhere. And now he's able to get those guys. Now, with that said, Quentin Grimes went to Kansas and then transferred back home. But, you know, he's not looking – he is looking for the five-star guys, but the ratings don't matter to him. He's more about developing. He feels like he can get a guy who fits his system and mold him into the player that will ultimately play like a five-star guy for him down the road versus – a guy that, you know, he says he likes to play those guys through the five-star that sort of are the one and done, maybe not as much as a team player. Those are the guys he wants to play against. And, you know, he's done a good job of keeping talent in. Tremont Mark is from nearby Dickinson. Fabian White is from Atascocita. But he's also gone the transfer route. Some of the best players right now are from other places that they started their career. The Dejon DeRose and the Bryson Greshams were from New Orleans. The Justin Gorham was from Maryland. So, you know, he's had Reggie Chaney was from Arkansas. So it's been a mixture, but he stays inside the city limits when he needs to.
If this is a 1-2 matchup, so this is not like a 1-6 or a 1-6, it doesn't feel like, it shouldn't be a, you know, a David versus Goliath situation that we would want to talk about. But in the sense, Baylor has been an outstanding team all year that has been on top of the rankings, sharing, you know, the 1-2 spot with Gonzaga. So maybe the gap does feel for a lot of people that there is a gap between these two teams. How do you see this team match up against Baylor?
No doubt, you know, the whole season everyone has looked at Gonzaga and Baylor as the two teams that are head and shoulders above the rest. But, you know, people, I think automatically they discount Houston simply because of the road that they've traveled in the tournament.
Right.
The Midwest region was so filled with, you know, upsets. But, you know, Dejan Drew said, look, that's not our fault. We played the games that were scheduled for us. You know, they didn't tell, you know, number one Illinois not to lose or Oklahoma State or West Virginia. So that sort of, I think, skews things a little bit. But you're right. I mean, you look at these two teams. Baylor just been kind of when they're on, and then they kind of went into the tournament a little bit, coming off the long pause and stuff where you wondered, you know, how would they respond, how would they play, and they've been great. And you look at Houston, it's sort of been, you know, they've needed the game against Rutgers to advance, that comeback there. But it, you know, for a 1-2, it does feel like a little bit lopsided, but at the same time, I don't put anything past Houston at this point. They have gotten here for a reason. You know, 28 wins doesn't come, you know, easy. And while there haven't been a lot of huge wins on their schedule, I think they can match up with Baylor from a defensive. It should be a great defensive game because Baylor is just simply really good at that, among other things. So, you know, I think it, you know, it'll be fun because it's an old Southwest Conference game. I think a lot of interest will be in it. It certainly will be the best game of the semifinals, and Texas can at least lay claim that they're going to have one team playing for a national championship on Monday. Now, would it be a surprise if it's Houston? Probably, but you know, I've seen crazier things happen this season.
And even though Houston did not win a national title, people do remember those 80s teams. And in college, those kind of memories last a very, very long time. How much of that feeling is in the city? How much do people who were around at that time still cling on to Phi Slamajama and the Cougars of the day?
Well, currently, I wish I knew. I've been in Indianapolis for about 16 days.
So
that's true. I'm not quite sure what the vibe is back home. I know what the vibe is in my household, that it's dad needs to get home pretty soon. But as far, you know, and I told some people this week, yeah, there's this history. And, you know, the people forget that, you know, Elvin Hayes was part of the first two back-to-back Final Fours back in the 60s.
Yeah.
And that sort of gets overlooked. But, you know, Kelvin Sampson puts that, you know, you honor your past, but you kind of play in the moment. And I think that's where sort of this week, you know, you've seen a lot of the narratives, people going back and interviewing Akeem and Michael Young and Reed Guest and all the Phi Slamajama. You know, that's great. But it's about this team. It's their story. This is not Phi Slamajama 2.0. It is about the program and sort of now maybe the resurrection being completed, the rebuild now being there. But totally different. You know, I laughed at it the other night. This team didn't dunk one time. You know, Phi Slamajama would have dunked five times in the first minute of a game. So, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of buzz simply because it hasn't been done since then. But now people moving forward, will the story will change that, oh, this is the first time they're doing it since that 2021 team. And I think that's a good step because this university, While it's proud and it's a great moment, has lived off of the Phi Slamajama legacy for a long time. And that means you haven't gone anywhere since. And hopefully now, you know, what they've done is sort of the next chapter for them. And maybe it includes a national championship and not another Lorenzo Charles moment or a Patrick Ewing matchup.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting.
Well said. Joseph Duarte, again, Houston Chronicle. Enjoy the Final Four, and we'll check to you soon. Thank you so much for your insight. Appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me on.
You got it. It was a lot of fun. Joseph Duarte on the Houston Cougars, a team, again, that if you're following college basketball, you may know all about Gonzaga, you may know all about Baylor, a little UCLA fun, but this Houston team is, like we said, it's in the AAC, it's a conference a lot of people don't watch, a lot of people don't pay attention to, but this has been a team that's been in the rankings pretty much all season long. We'll come up final thoughts on a Throwback Thursday and an April Fool's Day next on Wake Up Call. We'll be right back.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. 1985, Villanova over Georgetown at Rupp Arena. One of my favorite finals in my lifetime. And I've seen some good ones. I've seen some good teams, fun teams in my my many years on this planet. But the Villanova game, that championship game is one, even as a kid, I will not forget. I was blown away that they beat Georgetown. Georgetown was the juggernaut. When you're a kid, everything is simplified, and it was just simple. Georgetown was better than everybody else, and Villanova knocked him out with literally perfect shooting. I wanted to get to this because Matt Norlander wrote about Kelvin Sampson. I was doing my little research for this interview with Joseph Duarte in Houston. Matt Norlander was talking about Kelvin Sampson's time with the Rockets, right? And, you know, he's like, I want to be a college coach, but I'm in the NBA. He's talking about how he was talking to one NBA player, and he was teaching him how to, like, cut into a ball screen. He's, like, teaching the guy how to do it. And the player said, and this is paraphrased the Matt Norlander's article at CBS Sports, quote, coach, you're a great guy and trying to help, but let me tell you something. I will never jump a ball screen. Everything in my contract says I have to block shots and rebound. That's where my bonuses are. So I'm going to block shots and rebound. I won't be jumping one ball screen for you. And that's the realization that Kelvin Sampson had, the difference between coaching in college and in the NBA. And he said that's where he wanted to go back to college.
Don't we hear that story all the time?
All the time. All the time. You're in the NFL. You're a college coach. You're in the NFL. You're like, guys like, coach, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah.
So let's just make this clear. That's never happening. So thanks for that. But yeah, you can talk to my agent, but I ain't going to be doing that. Good for Kelvin Sampson. Resurrected his career in Houston. Jake Asman show's coming up next. We'll be back for a Friday edition of Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Enjoy your April Fool's Day.